The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Guardian Radio Today is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Prince Masters, Ross Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
And welcome to the Wednesday, September 17th edition of Guardian Radio Today. My name is Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Ankusara. We're always grateful to be here with you on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Of course, we are streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com. We're also on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. Or we are also on BTC Flow channel 612. Our text line is always powered by BTC, and of course, standard tax rates do apply. The number is 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Well, it is a hump day Wednesday. As always, I like to have conversations that I feel will strengthen the awareness, the consciousness of the listeners and the country at large. And so today I have a special guest. I'm going to be talking about identity theft. Identity theft creates scriptural ignorance. My special guest today is all the way from London, in the United Kingdom. Dr. Horace Wright, the Wright pastor. He's the head priest in London. And we are very, very, very grateful to have him with us. My brother, can you hear me? Make sure he's in.
Yes, I can.
Okay, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing okay. I've had better days. I've had worse days.
it's another day, right?
I give thanks to the Most High Heavenly One and all the Guardian Angelic hosts for allowing us to be here. I give thanks to you for calling me in on the show, you know?
I really
appreciate it. Yes. And I give thanks to all the listeners that are sitting down, listening, and saying to themselves, well, okay, let me see if I'm going to hear something I don't know. I pray that you do.
Yeah.
And I give thanks just to be in this day and time where there's so much happening across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And we should realize that with everything that's happening, these are the times when the events are speaking to us.
Mm.
The events are making it clear that where we should be and what we should be getting ourselves ready for. I give thanks.
Yes, yes, indeed. I broached this topic. Wanted to broach this topic because of some of the things I have been witnessing, and I'm sure you're witnessing it too. I'm happy that you said what you said in terms of, you know, all the things going on in the world today. And we're going to dive into that. What I want, Dr. Wright, is for people to understand what identity theft is. We always hear about it in today's crime reports, right? You could have you could have your identity stolen, and that's a part of it. But I want you to touch on identity theft from a perspective that guides us scripturally and helps us to see a bigger or broader context of what identity theft is. If you don't mind.
Let us first get an understanding or overstanding of what we're looking at when we're saying scripturally.
Right.
We first have to start there because when we're saying scripturally and we're looking at the scriptures, people gravitate to the scriptures because it's what we were brought up on.
Yeah.
As a youth, I was brought up on Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And as I studied Christianity, I realized that this didn't seem to be, I didn't know why,
mm-hmm.
but this just didn't seem to be it.
Mm-hmm.
And with that in mind, I then went over into Jamaica and my uncle introduced me into Rastafarian.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to be better. Mm-hmm. Why I say seemed to be, because I was at least acknowledging a God, which was good, right? Right. And I say that because he made it clear that it wasn't about God. God could not be God because God is dog feet backwards and so, you know, little things.
Yes.
And as Rasta, I then said, well, okay, I could see now as a black person, he said, and he was making it that Jesus Christ was black, and these sort of things that we were experiencing, which made sense in so much as for the region that your Jesus character was coming from was a region where black people were before the invasions took place.
Right.
So, with that, with all this in mind, it was now a way of overstanding. So scripturally, when I looked in the scriptures, I was saying, well, okay. And I used to ask the question. I always ask the question. When I was in Sunday school, I used to ask these questions. They didn't like me too much. But I was asking, so, you know, who wrote the Bible? Simple question.
Yeah.
Just who wrote the Bible, you know? The Bible. And we weren't given these answers. Mm. We were just told that, you know, God gave us the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, you know, as a young mind, I didn't know better. And, you know, we take it. So I'm saying it this way because we then have to look at the Bible and say, well, okay, scripturally, where did it come from?
Okay.
And when we start to look at the Bible, because we were talking about identity, Seth, we're now saying, well, the Bible that we're looking at, we're saying, well, the Vulgate, like the Vulgate, the Greek Septuagint.
Mm-hmm.
So the Greek Septuagint birthed what we would be looking at today and calling the Old Testament.
Okay.
And the Latin Vulgate birth that we'll be looking at today and calling the New Testament.
Right.
Now, in that, just that in itself, the Greek gave you the Old Testament, the Latin, Roman, gave you the New Testament, and the in-between testament must have come from Africa. Oh, no, there's no in-between testament, sorry. My bad. So... When we then look at that, we're then saying, well, okay, then what happened? Now, I want to grab my original books of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But within the original books of the Bible, on page 26, it breaks down about the Zondervan Bible, because it was an excerpt from the Zondervan Bible where it explains where certain chapters came from within the Bible, meaning that they've taken chapters from Proverbs out of the Canaanite or the Canaanite writings, so they'll say, or they've taken writings from the Ephesian texts. They've taken writings from the Numa Elish. They've taken writings from the Gilgamesh epics. I'm looking for it as I'm talking to you. That's why I'm doing that.
Yeah, I'm pulling mine out too. Yeah.
So you can help me along. I didn't find my mind. No worries.
You want me to read the top of it, what it says?
Just read the top of it for me, please.
Right. Yes. So it says, the ancient text relating to the Old Testament, major representative examples of ancient Near Eastern non-biblical documents that provide parallels to or shed light on various Old Testament passages.
And so that in itself, and the Zondervan Bible has put this in their edition to say, well, and this predates the Bible. Why is this important? Because if we start to say, well, if the Bible that we're looking at and these texts predate the Bible, then somebody came amongst us, looked at our text and decided to copy them, right?
Right.
And use them for their own benefit.
Right.
The sad thing about it is that they then took it and gave it to us.
Wow.
Right? And then we grabbed onto it.
Mm.
And with us holding onto it, we then said, okay, this is what we believe in. This is how we saw it. This is how it is.
Mm.
And we took this word for word. We wasn't even going back into the language. We were just taking things word for word.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Mm-hmm.
With Jesus on the wall as a Caucasian man, then the Caucasian Jesus must be real.
Mm.
The Jews are the chosen seed.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Jews are the chosen seed, then we must be the who?
The
Jews are the chosen seed, then we must be the who? We couldn't. No, that's not right. No, let me do that again. If the Jews are the chosen seed, then...
We're the Gentiles, eh?
No!
Well, what are we?
So that means we must be the Gentiles.
Mm.
Okay, but so we're the Gentiles. So with us being the Gentiles, that means the Jews can get everything first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you believe in Jesus, right, you're going to be part of the second gathering that takes place in Revelation, Revelation 7.
Okay.
I'm saying it this way because I'm just trying to give an overview so people can at least grasp and agree with me because this is what we were brought up on, and this is how we really saw the Bible, and some of us today still see it this way.
Yeah.
We still see it as this is what it is, and this is where we're at. Some of us, even back home in Africa, still believe that with the invasion of the Caucasian in our continent, and the enslavement or the colonization of our people, that was salvation for us.
Mm. Wow. We were just waiting for them to save us. We were savages.
We needed them because we were savages. Mm-hmm. And they saved us. And Tarzan came, and Tarzan was great. Mm-hmm. And all of these sort of things.
Right.
It's important that we get this understanding because now we've been looking at this, we're now saying, well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Bibis and Babas through years, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Marcus Garvey, Francis Tresswell Singh, and so forth, people writing, putting things out there that a lot of us ignored, to be frank. We didn't read them. And even if we did read them, we saw it as, it's just from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to give thanks now to our teacher today, Dr. Amadou Varma, who's grabbed the pieces and been putting them together for us in order for us to be able to see a clearer picture by utilizing other people's works. Mm-hmm. It's important that we see this and understand this because a lot of teachers just say, it's my works.
Right.
And just study my works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what he's saying. He said, no. They all played a part.
Mm-hmm.
He did a course called Pieces of the Puzzle. And he took pieces of all these different writings, books, and put them together and allowed us to get an understanding of the whole picture that each person were bringing to the table. So let's get back to what we're saying.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about identity theft. So now, somebody came along and said to you, we're going to take your identity.
Mm.
We're gonna come around you, and we're going to put stories in this book, the Bible, make it a scripture, and put it over to you.
Mm.
And you're going to accept it. If you don't, we're going to whip the blackness off your back, and we're going to encourage you to take this book.
Mm.
And so said, so we did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that in mind, we then started to look and say, well, these are the Jews are the chosen people. We know they're the chosen people. You know why we know they're the chosen people? Because Hitler attacked them.
Uh-huh.
And why would their own attack them? They must be the chosen seed.
Hmm.
That's why Hitler attacked them. That makes sense. All of this is beginning to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody believes that these are the chosen seed.
Right.
Then, and those of us that don't, we believe that we're the true Jews.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That in itself is funny because we're trying to take their title. We don't. No. We don't need to take their title.
Right.
They've taken our heritage. Mm. And put a title on the table. Let them keep their title, but let's take back our heritage.
Okay.
There's a difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So now, when we now see the chosen seed says chosen by who?
Right.
You're chosen by the God of the Bible.
Okay.
The God of your Bible is Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But yet when I go to 2 Corinthians 11, 4:4,
mm-hmm.
it explains to me, right? Do you want,
yeah, let's look at
that,
it.
Let's look at it. We got time for this, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So
can you?
I got it.
Yes.
So I have.
Go.
I have the King James version at this point. It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God."
Stop.
Are you going too fast?
Yes.
Sorry, my bad.
Yes. Go.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
So let's get this right. The God of the Bible did what? Blinded.
Blinded. The God in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Wow.
So if you didn't believe in them, the God of the Bible is going to blind you.
Blind the minds. Wow.
Blind the mind. What exactly does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the question. What does that mean? And then, Dr. Wright, I looked at another. Go ahead.
Yes, because when we then look at that and say the God of the Bible is blinding,
mm-hmm.
that means that to blind you is not a good thing.
Right.
It's like I'm going to confuse you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make you not see the truth.
Mm.
That can't be a good thing.
Yeah, why would God do that?
Why would God feel the necessity to confuse you? Continue reading that again, please. God blinded you, go on.
Right. Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ.
So the intellect, the truth
mm-hmm.
of the Christ, the true Christ, would do it. Go on.
Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God.
Christ mm-hmm. is the image of
God. Okay.
Now, the NLT version says, right? Says what?
Now, when I'm going to the NLT version, and I'm just putting it.
I've got it here if you want me to.
Go ahead, please. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
It says, Satan, who is the God. No, it's the wrong version. I'm reading something wrong.
What? That what it say?
No, I must be. No. Sorry. I mean, read the King James version again for me, please. Sorry.
It says, the King James says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world.
It starts with whom the God of this world.
Yes. In the King James. Mm-hmm.
And this one says, Satan, who is the God of this world.
Wow.
Has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God.
Hmm.
Now that's like if that's a double hit.
Yeah.
That's a double hit.
Yeah.
What do I mean by that? Hmm. I said double hit because it's saying the God who is the God, and in here it says the God of this world. So it says Satan is the God of this world.
Wow.
And then later it says Christ, who is in the exact likeness of God.
Wow. Wow.
So that's telling you that Satan, who's running this world, and Christ, who is supposed to be the Son of God, is the exact likeness of God. So that means...
There's some heavy stuff.
Christ must be Satan. And remember, I'm not saying this.
Right.
Scripture's saying this.
Right.
And even if you say your Bible, wait, we're going to go back again to the King James Version. Just read it again first, please.
Sure. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe.
And we have to say, why would God blind the minds of people? How can we think that to be a good thing?
Right. Like, what would be the purpose of that?
What would be the purpose of blinding the minds of people? And read John and says,
blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Then it says of Christ, right?
Mm-hmm. Of Christ, yes.
Of Christ. And then if we go to 2 Corinthians again, 11:4.
Okay, let me go down to 11:4. 2 Corinthians 11:4. Okay. Would you want me to read it, or you want to?
If you don't mind.
Sure, no problem, mind. No problem. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Okay.
Hold on a minute. So, there's another spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Another what?
There's another Jesus. There's another spirit.
Gospel.
And another gospel.
Gospel. So that good news, that gospel, is another gospel. So there's a gospel of the truth, or of the original Christ,
mm-hmm.
right? And then there's the gospel that's not true.
Wow.
According to the Bible.
Right.
And when we go into it and we analyze it, we say, well, so there's more than one gospel here coming from Christ.
Wow. Wow.
So we now have to look at this and then say, well, so somebody, the God in the Bible, according to this,
mm-hmm.
according to the Bible, the God in the Bible is considered whom again?
Satan. Yeah.
Right. So if the God in the Bible is considered Satan, and there's another gospel that's coming,
mm-hmm.
we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because here we are wondering about identity theft,
yeah.
when the identity was stolen at the key point. From your scripture, in order for us to get a good understanding of who and what we are, we would expect at least to turn to our doctrine, our scriptures, and our scriptures would at least guide us to tell us, hey, this is what we need to do. Agree?
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And if the scripture is not telling you this, then what happens? I want you to do something for me again, please.
Sure.
Right? I want you to go to 2 Samuel.
Okay, 24. Okay, 2 Samuel, and we're going to chapter 24.
Okay. And if you don't mind,
mm-hmm.
read verses 1 and 2.
1 and 2, okay. 2 Samuel, mm-hmm. chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. It's under the heading David's census. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. Verse 2 of 2 Samuel chapter 24. Yes. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. Mm-hmm.
So read verse 1 again for me, please.
Okay. And verse 1, and again, mm-hmm. the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah.
So now when we read the Bible and we speak to Christian folks, or we speak to our brothers and we say the anger of the Lord, are we talking about the same anger that was in Genesis 6 when the Lord was angry at Adam and so forth, the same sort of anger? Okay, so the Lord has a way of being able to get angry. Now, if you go to me, if you don't mind, go to 1 Chronicles 21 for me, please.
Okay, 1 Chronicles and chapter 21, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And which verse?
Verse 1.
Okay, 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number. Now, see, Because I'm reading the same thing in another chapter, but now it's saying of God. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel.
Yes, continue. And?
And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. This sounds just like...
It sounds exactly the same.
2 Samuel 24. Wow.
Yes. We're saying this so that people can get an understanding that when we're sitting here and we're reading this Bible and we're talking about God in the Bible, it says it there that he is Satan. And it says it here again, the Lord is Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're seeing the God of the Bible, we've got to understand that when we say the chosen people and we're talking about the chosen seed or those chosen people chosen by God, we're saying chosen by who?
Wow. Because all of this is the King James. This all of that is the King James.
This is in the King James Bible. This is early in the Bible. That we're showing that if you're listening and you're a Christian and you're sitting there, we're not attacking you. We're just explaining who is who in this Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to what we've just read, we're seeing that according to the Bible, Satan is the God of the Bible.
Okay. As it is written today, this version of
it. Yes. As it's written here, we've seen, we can look, we've looked at four different verses and we've said, you know what? Satan must be the God of this Bible.
Yeah, somebody interchanging God with Satan.
So somebody has moved the Most High Heavenly One out the way and has given us God.
Okay.
The Lord. Jehovah.
Mm. Wow.
Right? Boaz. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Baal has given us all these other titles as the God. And it's important that we get an understanding of this, because it's when you read within it, it's the chosen seed that has done this. And it's the chosen seed. And we're looking at this chosen seed. And this chosen seed are the so-called Jews today. Oh, man, you can't say that. You can't say it. Oh, no, you can't say that. You know, come on, you can't say that.
Yeah.
Right? If you say that, you know what they're going to cry out.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, yes, they're going to say you're attacking. I'm not. We're just saying what it is.
Right.
According to the Bible.
Right.
So this chosen seed is chosen by who? By Satan, according to the Bible.
Wow.
So, and when we look within it, and we go to, if we go to Joshua 10,
okay.
Joshua 10, let me pull it up for you, 10 verse 1 to 5.
Okay, Joshua 10.
Let me see if I can find it too.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm using the old Bible. I'm not even going online right now. Let me just use my old Bible.
Yes, 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 yes.
Let me flip the pages.
Yeah.
I have to turn the light on.
Yeah, I got
for this.
I got my highlighted Bible too.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, 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 right? Yes.
And if you mind, we could go through this for a while.
Started verse 1, correct? Joshua 10.
Yes, please. Yes.
All right. This is King James Version, Joshua 10, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Adonizek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai. Wow, we just read this yesterday. Someone asked me about AI because I was talking about AI. Anyway. Now it came to pass when Adonizek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king. And now the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them.
Israel was going around and just conquering places.
Right.
Right, keep going. Just conquering places.
Joshua 10, verse 2. Wow. That they fared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities. And because it was greater than Ai and all the men there. Joshua 10, 3. Wherefore Adonizek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Dabir, king of Eglon, saying...
Stop. Mm-hmm. So who are these kings?
Yeah.
Adonizek. Horam, Param, King.
Yeah.
What name? What words? What names are these?
Yeah,
I have my original books. But when we look at these, we've got to understand it. These are not just Hebraic names.
Okay.
These are names coming out of somewhere. These are names coming. Oh, Persia and that region. Okay, got it.
So when I look, because I have my Blue Letter Bible.
Go, please, yeah. Thank you.
All right. So if I look up, which verse were we in when we saw the names? That was verse 3.
Verse 3.
All right. So if I look up these names. And we use the Blue Letter Bible because it gives us the opportunity to look in the strong.
That's our Bible. That's the Bible that we use.
That's right. So the king sent, so let me look up Hoham first. This name, Hoham?
Yeah, go look up Hoham.
All right. So this word, Hoham. Okay. Hoham, they say, equal whom Jehovah impels. King of Hebron at the time of the conquest of Canaan. Of uncertain derivation, a Canaanitish king.
Hold on. Stop now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is supposed to be Joshua, right?
Yes. Yes.
But he's a Canaanite.
Right. How they get there?
But so these Canaanites are the feet in the. You understand? And when you look at it, I'm not going to go into it because I know.
Yeah.
But do us another name, please. Give me one more. Let's go to Piram or Pyram. Yes, Piram.
All right. And this word, Pyram or Piram, 86502. Piram equal like a wild ass, the Amorite king. Of Jarmuth.
Okay.
Amorite. He's an Amorite.
He's an Amorite.
Okay.
Okay.
So they're saying the people, they're saying Israel.
This is not Israel. This is not Israel.
Ah,
no.
Okay.
Israeli.
Okay.
Not Israel.
So there's a difference between Israel and Israel.
And this is not the Midianites. This is not to, we got to understand there's a difference when we say Israeli, Israel. When we say Ishmaeli, Ishmael.
Okay.
When we say Matani, Midianite, there's a difference.
But that sounds like such a small thing, you know? Like, I mean, you know, but tomato, tomato, you know?
Yeah, yes, it is. Because there's no difference than when Cain went off. And Cain had his seed. And what did Cain do? Cain named all of his children after the children of Seth.
Right.
So now, here you are looking at Enoch and Enoch. And these, you get what I'm saying?
Yes. You don't know which seed you're talking about.
It's right. And it was done purposely. Mm. So the same way how here we are looking at the six kings, the six kings of the... Joshua,
right.
I'm not realizing when we're seeing that six kings, we're seeing who? The Vikings.
Oh, V.I.
Descendants of
V.I.
those.
Kings.
V.I. Because that number six is in Roman numeral is V.I.
Wow.
Vikings.
Wow.
We're looking at the way they took the stories and merged them in with us. So here we are talking about, and something that teacher brought up. And he was talking, looking and saying, within the Bible, it's nothing but war and destruction.
Yeah.
War, and here we are glorifying destruction.
Mm. Totally normalized it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're normalized, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So these kings, which we look at it and go, oh, they're supposed to be the chosen seed. Chosen of whom? We keep saying that. Chosen of the Canaanite. As we saw, these with all these two, just two that we pull up was of the Canaanite seed. So chosen of whom? Chosen of the Canaanite. Somebody came in amongst us and started to take everything that we did and masked it and took it for themselves. They took the headdress that we had in ancient Tamaré as Asaru would wear, and they took that headdress, the fishat, and then put it on the Pope.
Oh.
So when you look at the Pope now, you see the Pope's head. I like people, because we're on the radio.
Yes.
I think I was doing radio. If you can just go online and pull up these little things and look at it and say, well, headdress of Osiris.
Right.
I have to say Osiris. So you pull it up, Osiris, we know.
Right.
And then you pull up the Pope's headdress, you'll see a similar headdress.
Right.
You see that they were taking everything that we did. If you look at the even Mary and the child, go throughout the whole region, you'll always see a mother and child.
Right.
When you go through the Sumerian doctrine, you go through the African doctrine, the mother and child symbol.
Right.
They grab that. The crown that they wear, they grab that. In England, when England first had their crown, they were lucky to have a wooden crown.
They had a wooden crown?
Yes. Yes. Then afterwards, as they were introduced to metals, they had a bronze one and a brass one and so forth. And remember, they didn't have gold here. So where did they get gold from? They didn't have rubies and diamonds and sapphire. So where did we live abundantly in tropical areas?
Right.
My point. So somebody is grabbing what you have and taking scripturally, they grabbed it and put themselves in there. So now you now looked at Jesus and said, Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not overstanding it, they move Yeshua out the way. And if you go into any Hebrew text and you look up the word for Jesus, they'll give you Yeshua.
Right.
Yeshua, they'll say.
Right.
And they'll give you that. They'll say Yeshua. So they took Yeshua and then put Jesus in his place. And then they'll say, okay, this is the Son of God.
So
we can go into more.
Yeah, because you know, growing up, I would hear, yeah, you know, it's a difference, the same God. He just translated it.
Yes, of course.
You know, and so.
You know, you'd hear that. And I used to ask, so why did they change his name from Yeshua to Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they just said, but my name is Horace.
Right.
If I leave here and I go to India, they're going to call me Horace.
Yes.
If I leave here and I go to Africa, they call me
Right.
If I leave here and I go to Iceland,
oh, I understand. You're saying they're not going to translate your name. Then they're going to call you.
They're not going to change my name.
Wow, that's true. I didn't even think about it that way. Yeah.
They're not going to change. I'm not going to land in Iceland and go, okay, your name is no longer Horace.
Right.
Horace means, we're going to call you this now. No, it was the name Horace. They're calling me Horace.
Right. Wow. So why would they translate
India,
the name?
They're going to call why? Unless we're trying to introduce you to somebody else.
Mm.
Unless we're bringing to you something else, and which is not yours, but we're trying to let you believe it's yours. So in order to do that, let me change the name and tell you it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
And now you take it.
Mm-hmm.
And these little subtle things that they did. So the Bible, when we read it in its true language, the truth is there. Our teacher always says language is key.
Yes.
So when we go back to, and as we just went back to a couple of words in the Bible, we saw, in the blue leather Bible, it's revealed it for us.
Yeah.
So we're not saying we're anti-Bible. We're saying we're anti your interpretations of the scriptures.
Right. We're true Christians. That's right.
We're anti that. Mm-hmm. We look at that and say, no, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's wrong, then we have to address it. So now here we are, going back to what we're saying.
I Googled what you asked to Google. I said the headdress of Pope versus Osiris. And literally, there are pictures where they have them side by side. And you see where they're getting their headdress from. I mean, it's right here. Even the fish, the Christian, Greco-Roman Christians, they say they have a fish and they'll put Jesus in it. But if you turn that to the side, it's the same headdress.
Same headdress.
Wow.
The fish hat.
Wow.
They call it the fish hat.
Fish hat. It sounds like fish hat, but it's fish hat. Okay.
Fish hat.
Wow.
And it's the same headdress that they're using.
Mm-hmm.
no different.
Wow.
Right? They have that same thing that they're running around saying that they're doing something different. No. They came in their invasion. Remember, they had waves of invasion. People seem to think that they just came to Africa one time and found everything like just like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You had over centuries of time, different races hitting the shores of Africa, weakening the North Coast, what we call the North. Today, that North Coast is not occupied by the true original inhabitants of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It's the invaders are having it.
Right.
And even with that going on, the invaders are in Egypt today, changing the images on the walls.
They're doing that?
They're lightening the images wow. on the wall to make sure that when you go and visit Egypt, you see them.
Wow.
And they're making it so that now if we go over there and we're trying to do a tour over there, you're walking around and you're looking and you see lightened images.
Mm.
So they've now put themselves in that part of it. So not just in the scripture, they're stealing the identity
wow.
of the great Cameroons now.
Wow.
Right? They're trying to take the identity of all of us.
Mm. Mm.
They leave you with the monkey. Even though when you shave the monkey looks more like them than
Lord,
us. I'm just saying, just saying, just saying, just saying. If I shave my beard, I'm still brown.
Right. Right. Right.
But when if I shave their beard, they look like the monkey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying,
yeah.
Right?
Monkeys don't have lips. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Right? So they're moving through, taking everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. There's a reason why they took the noses off of the statues.
Yeah, I was wondering that. Every time I research and I see all the noses knocked off.
It's an accident. The statue fell and broke his nose.
Okay.
Oh, that one fell and broke his nose.
All of them fell and broke. Yeah.
They just keep breaking their noses.
Mm.
Unless somebody is trying to make sure that you don't see yourself. So scripturally, they were trying to make sure that we did not see us, because as time go on and you go back to these original scriptures, the Litany of Ray and writings like this, you're going to see that this is your writing.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into the Give Limits Epics, you see your writing.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into the Akashic Records, you see your writing.
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, you mentioned at the beginning of the show, for those who may not have heard, you mentioned that at the beginning of the King James Zondervan Study Bible, all
yes.
these names that may be not familiar to people, they have them in the King James Study Bible.
Yes.
Saying that this is where the Bible came from, ultimately.
Well, they're saying that these were certain books.
Books, okay.
Of the Bible came from. I'm walking in the room and I was going to grab it and I go, oh, that's where it is. I left it in here. Why did you forget that, Mr. Wright? Let's grab it, right?
Yes, yes.
That's the beauty of the little bit of technology. I can have my earbuds in. I can walk over there
yes.
and go and get it.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I'm so grateful that, you know, you're taking the time to just have this discussion with us today, because we are so busy in our fast-paced world, trying to make ends meet and just trying to function, not realizing what the effect of all of this is having on us. The fact that someone is interchanging God with Satan in the Bible, as we just showed, right? The fact that you're thinking that you're talking about the chosen tribes of the Most High, when in fact this, they move the Most High out of the way, they put God there, then they interchange God with Satan, and then they say that these are God's chosen, which means these are Satan's chosen, and then it makes it a little bit clearer as to why all this war and all this killing is going on in the Bible.
And like our teacher would say, it normalizes it.
Yeah.
Something I've always said, since I've been on the planet 67 years so far,
mm-hmm.
and there's not one day as passed on war.
That's real.
On this planet. I can't say there's been a day when there's just been world peace. Today, there's no war happening anywhere on the Bible. On the earth and in the Bible.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's because it's been normalized for us to always be at war with each other, that we believe that war is the norm.
Wow. Wow. A special guest today, Dr. Horace Wright of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, the UK branch. We were talking identity theft. We've really taken the time to just show a little glimpse of how it works in the scripture. When we come back from the break, Dr. Wright, we're going to run to news. But when we come back, I want to dive in with you, if you will, on how this is affecting us. You know, if we think we're the Gentiles and we think someone else are the chosen, that may play on our behavior, I'm thinking, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of
so course I want to dive into that after the break.
All right, no problem.
Keep it locked here on 96.9 Guardian. Today, we'll be right back after this.
Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Don't settle for ordinary when you can have the Farmhouse King, only at Burger King Nassau.
It's back!
Mm-hmm. Sink your teeth into 100% flame-grilled beef, stacked with crisp bacon, melty American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and the bold sauce that adds the perfect kick for a flavor sensation fit for a king. Grab the Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or go all in with the Farmhouse King's Feast. It's bigger, it's better, and it's only at Burger King Nassau.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Great Commissions Ministries is God's storehouse. They have been caring for the poor, homeless, and hurting since 1987. You are invited to support their Stop and Drop program by dropping off some food items in their barrels and some cash in their bottles. You can donate an offering each month or pay your tithes online to Great Commissions through the Givelify or SunCash apps. Help them to shelter the homeless, feed the hungry, and spread the gospel of Christ. Volunteer your service and support the Live to Give program. Call Great Commission Ministries, God's Storehouse, at 325-5801 for further information or stop by the office on Wolf Road. Be blessed.
Parents, don't ignore your children's dreams. In Genesis 37, Joseph shared his dreams, and though his father dismissed them, those very dreams revealed his destiny. God is still speaking to children today, even in their sleep. And as parents, we must listen, cover, and nurture. That's why I created the Children's Dream Journal, a tool to help you capture and protect what God is revealing to your kids. You can purchase your copy now on Amazon or join me, Trishawn Hannah, at my book signing Saturday, September 20th at 2 p.m. We'll be at Template located on Jerome Avenue. This event is sponsored by CT Management Template, Bahama Odds and Ends, Big Party World, and Job 33:14 Dream Now. Let's guard the destiny in our children's dreams together.
And welcome back to the Wednesday, September 17th edition of Guardian Radio. Today, my name is Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. Special guest today is Dr. Horace Wright of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah in the UK, in London. We've been talking about identity theft and how it ultimately leads to but it also does some things to change our behavior. If we are seeing ourselves as Gentiles, right? We Africans, we Caribbeans, we Latinos, etc. If we're seeing ourselves as Gentiles and we're looking to another group of people as the chosen people, what is that doing to us or for us? Dr. Wright, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Beautiful, beautiful. So we're going to give the callers an opportunity to call in a bit, but I wanted to just touch this before we open the phone lines, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing what we just went through the first hour of the show, where we showed how someone is going into these scriptures and interchanging God with Satan, they are... Mm-hmm. Taking the names of the Canaanites and the Amorites and making it seem as if they are these original African, these 12 royal tribes of Ishmael, Israel, and Midiani. There's a difference within the scripture. We talked about another gospel in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. There's a parallel doctrine running through the scripture. And it's doing something to us. It's doing something to us.
When you say parallel doctrine, you've got to make that clear, because if you're saying parallel doctrine, that means you're saying there's something running alongside something else, correct? So there must be truth around what we're talking. So in that sense, it's very important that people get to understand that we're not... attacking, and making it clear, like you said, there's a parallel doctrine run simultaneously, a parallel religion run simultaneously, a parallel culture run simultaneously at the same time. And so you've got to be able to read the Bible or your scriptures with an African eyes, which means you have to have had the time to have taken the time to look at African writings to be able to see that parallel doctrine. I'm saying it this way so that people can understand. But this is what when you look at the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah as Nazareans, as atonists, we've been guided by our teacher to look at other things and see the comparison and the similarity. In order, so we've looked at Hellenism and been able to say, what's that?
Right.
That's there. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We've looked at pantheism or the Roman pantheism. That's there, and that's it. So we've had to take that time to study different people's so-called mythologies in order to see the comparison within that doctrine, to be able to say this parallel doctrine. Just making it clear.
Yes, so, I am. I'm happy you clarified that for us. So right. We look at our communities, we look at our families or our individual behaviors, our families, our communities, our nation at large here in the Bahamas, over in the UK, in America, you know, throughout the Caribbean. This war, this killing, the rape, everything that's been normalized scripturally, we're seeing it in our everyday society. Is this an effect? Is there a correlation between this identity theft, the normalization of this behavior, and what we see taking place? Okay.
Good. Of course. Mm-hmm. Look at it this way, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you see somebody else as the chosen people,
mm-hmm.
and your religious mind, then that chosen person is, and that chosen person is chosen by God,
mm-hmm.
right? Chosen by Jehovah,
mm-hmm.
chosen by Yahweh,
mm-hmm.
chosen by whoever you like. If that's the chosen seed or the chosen people, then in order for us to get there, we are in Revelation 7:9, mm-hmm. the multitude.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you have all of the different tribes, according to Revelation 7,
mm-hmm.
1, 7, 8, and 4, so I'm going right down to 8.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all the different tribes. And then at Revelation 9, 7, you have the multitude.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the multitude is made up of everybody else. But first, chosen seed must be taken up.
Okay, Revelation 7.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm saying it this way so that we get an understanding. So that this says, your mind now says, well, they must be better than me.
Mm.
They must be more powerful than me because they're closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
These must be the people. Like I said earlier, this is why they must be a phenotype because these are the chosen seeds.
Mm-hmm.
This is why they're so successful because these are the chosen seeds.
Mm-hmm.
This is why they have all these things happening for them because these are the chosen seeds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, this now makes us as a now sit back and go, well, we can understand why we're always further down the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know what I mean, if that's the chosen seed and Jesus is white and the Jews are there mm-hmm. and the Jews are mm-hmm. living in Europe and we're black, then we can understand that, yes.
So we just accept it.
We're going to be grateful, not just accept. We're going to be grateful to have been given the small chances that we have to get through
the crumbs.
As Jesus would say, or the Canaanite would say, isn't it for the martyr to drop the crumbs to the dog on the floor?
Yes, yes, Matthew 15. Right? Yes, mm-hmm.
yes,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Matthew 15.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in that saying that,
mm-hmm.
then we're happy to have the crumbs.
Wow.
Because we. Remember, within certain religions, we're also seen as a Canaanite.
Yes, that's true.
Right, because they'll say Ham was black. Because Ham
mm-hmm.
means.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, if Ham was black, then Canaan must have been black.
Mm.
So, you're the seed of Canaan, servants of servants shall he be, as mentioned in 9, mm-hmm. in Genesis 9.
Mm-hmm.
So, we must be those servants of servants. Therefore, wow. that's why we're here. So, once we put that on you and you accept it. And there's many of us out there who say, no, I don't believe this. No, I don't even believe in the Bible. Yeah, but how were you raised?
Mm-hmm.
Was your morals raised on the scriptures?
Right.
On Christianity? Because if your morals was raised on Christianity, then your mind and your way you think, the way your program is in that way. So the way you're going to work a problem out would be based on how your mold
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
that was put in you told you to do it.
Yeah.
We can say all we want, but if we don't replace those values with something else that makes sense, then we're using the same code in order to.
Yes, yes. Sorry, go ahead.
So with that in mind,
mm-hmm.
now we're now saying, here we are, the bottom of the totem pole. We know we're the bottom of the totem pole. You know why we know we're the bottom of the totem pole?
Why?
Because everybody's enslaved us. So we
true.
Must be rubbish.
My Lord, that's true.
Everybody is enslaved us.
Yes.
So we must be rubbish.
Mm.
Right? The Chinese enslaved us. Look it up, 16th century.
Yep.
The Asian enslaved
mm-hmm.
us. Right? Look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Chattel slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows that one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Arabs are still doing it.
Yes. Yes.
Right, and they were like the first, so they must be the last. Like everybody's been enslaving us, mm. so we must be the worst.
Wow!
Or could it be that you are the chosen seed of the Most High Heavenly One and Neve, and somebody doesn't want you to know,
mm.
So because they don't want you to realize this and see the greatness in you, they're removing the greatness from out of your way so that you now start to behave like them. So we wonder why we do these things.
Hmm.
Why, if someone stereotyped us and says, all you're good for is to rob, steal, dance, sing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm. And if that's, and then you start thinking, that's all I'm good for. Rob, steal, dance, sing. And the one and two of us that get through is an anomaly.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yes, once you now see yourself as worthless, once you see yourself as the bottom of the pile, remember, because we're saying that we're gentle. That means all those Europeans that are not of the chosen seed, they're also
Gentiles.
Mm. All those that are in Asia are also
Gentiles.
Gentiles, right? All those that are in Far East, or they're also
Gentiles.
Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we are the lowest of the low.
Wow. Wow.
So once we've seen ourselves like that, we then are grateful for small mercies, as they'll say.
Mm, mm, mm.
And the little things that they give us, we're okay with it.
Yeah. The crumbs.
So,
hey, Lord.
Yeah. So we're happy to have the crumbs off the master's table.
Mm.
We're content to have that. So this breeds a mentality which says, yes, master, no, master, okay, master. And it breeds it in such a level that even the in America, as who couldn't speak English properly, right, was over you, even though you were more intelligent than him.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even though we were way more intelligent, even the dumb Canaanite. And we had to look up to him. We had to walk off of the road to let them pass. We had to step in the mud when we're walking on the sidewalk and let them pass. That is stamped in your gene.
Mm.
So now, as you're walking down the road, you don't even think about it. A Canaanite person comes your way, you automatically move out of the way.
Mm.
Right? You reach a door, you automatically open the door to let them in. But they don't do it, you do it for them. It's embedded in our gene, in our DNA, that we should be submissive to everybody else and kill our own.
Wow.
Because they had us in fighting bucks. So that's in your gene as well. So you were willing to do that. Fight each other, the strongest on the planet, but be submissive to every other race.
Wow, powerful. The phone lines are lit up now, so I want to give people an opportunity to jump in the conversation. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and the Family of Islands, 300-5720. Our text line is also open, 422-4796, and of course, standard text rates do apply. Let's jump right to the first caller, Mr. Producer. Caller, you're live on Guardian Radio today.
Thank you much. Good afternoon, Uncle.
Hey, good afternoon, man. Thanks for calling.
I can't find the words to call your guest.
It's Dr. Wright.
Well, you know, it had something to do with Wright.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great, man. Listen, this parallel doctrinization or indoctrinization, it appears as though the society who were told that they are lesser than became comfortable in that arena of being lesser than, not really wanting more. And I'm wondering, how was the programming so great that its impact was, even though when you were freed from slavery, you still wanted to become a slave? That's some serious programming, you know, how cool. I mean, that's like brain surgery to get some. Seriously, because I understand the only two ways that people can change, right? Either they willfully do it abruptly or brain surgery. Now, I am think this one is borderlining. They must have gone and there's some figure out how to get alter the brain of a certain gene or something, people with a certain gene, to get them to don't want to be free.
Wow. Let's let Dr. Wright respond to that.
All right.
Thank you so much. That's a powerful question or comment. What say you, Dr. Wright? Have they turned off genes? Have they
when we're looking, mm-hmm. he's 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a conditioning.
Mm.
And it's a conditioning that we have to really get to understand.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
In every household within the Western Hemisphere of the planet, they all have a television.
Mm-hmm.
Every household has a television. No matter how poor you are, you can afford a television.
Yep. Yep.
Right? You can afford a mobile phone with a screen. Mm-hmm. You can afford. How come we can always afford these things? Because they make them affordable.
Mm.
Because this is the tool that they're using in order to get into your mind.
Hmm.
They realize in early day with the television that people are glued to the visual subjects of visual programs.
Mm-hmm.
So now here we are. You know, our previous teacher said many times, you're watching a television channel.
Mm.
And you're watching a program on a television channel.
Wow.
What do? You channel and send a program. So we're programming you. There was a time when people wow. did plays on what? On life.
Mm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So we mm-hmm. were, what you saw was what people were living.
Mm-hmm.
Now people are living what comes on the television.
Mm.
So what you see, the way you behave, the way we all behave is based on what we've seen on television.
Mm.
Those that watch soap operas,
mm-hmm.
they sit there and you've been conditioned to respond a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tavistock Institute, they specialized in marketing. They specialized in promotions.
Mm-hmm.
They specialized in how the brain worked.
Mm-hmm.
And they made sure that they send frequencies that in tune with the mind.
Okay.
So when we're watching television, this is part of the tool that helps to keep us in the right condition. Mm-hmm. What condition? That I leave work. When I finish work, let me get a drink. Okay, I'm coming through the door, a glass of wine. It's nice to get a glass of wine. How do I know a glass of wine looks good? Because when I saw the television, the rich people come on, they drink a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. So I want to drink a glass of wine. That's nice. It must be good to me. So I get a glass of wine when I come back. And then I sit down on the television.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a street guy or if I'm working a lot, I get a can of beer. Anyway, I buy a six-pack of beer. Come on, put my six-pack down. Nowadays, because weed is legalized, I'll build me a split with the beer. Watch it, get this weed split.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm beer, right? And I sit there and I watch the television. And if you ever sat and watched people watching a program, that is a program in itself.
Yeah.
Watching their reaction to the show that they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you watch one of those programs where the mind control is taking place and you literally see them changing.
Wow.
And then they'll look at a soap opera, which isn't real, and they'll go to work the next day and say, "Did you see what Uncle did?
Yes.
Oh my God, how could he do that? How could he do that? It's in the script.
Yes.
I'm talking about it as if it's real.
Yes. If you're not watching the soap opera, you would think they're talking about real people. I've experienced that. Yes.
So that conditioning, they first started by introducing us to the scriptures.
Mm.
And no, sorry, let's go back to the fairy tales.
Ah.
The fairy tales that they gave us. Our teacher did this. Fairy tales became adult religion.
Mm-hmm.
And they took us to the fairy tale and gave you silly fairy tales to be reciting. And you recited these fairy tales, or these nursery rhymes, should I say, and then you went on to the fairy tales and listened to these silly fairy tales, which weren't true. Hansel and Gretel finding a house made of sweets. How can a house be made of sweets? A load of. And it bombard your mind with things which ain't real. So what they've done is they've massaged the brain in order to, when you now hear, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Mm.
And the heaven was null and void.
Mm.
And it was darkness upon the deep.
Mm.
And that was the first day. Oh, God did all that in a day?
One day.
Yes.
24 hours.
The mind will accept it because the mind accepted Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall and all the king horses and all the king men couldn't put Humpty together again. Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop. When the bow breaks, the cradle will rock. Now we'll come back. What's the baby doing in the treetop? Nobody.
Right.
You might as well rock a by baby on top of the van. The van drove off and the baby fell off.
Right? Right. Wow. Who would do that, right?
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So the mind has been massaged and programmed in a certain way in order to allow. When we now tell you, you take it in. So when we now tell you within the Bible, you don't question the Bible.
Mm.
So now when you have people in authority making decisions which don't make sense, we tolerate it. We take it. We move on. We say, okay, that's what it is. And so when he's saying what's happening is the conditioning. And yes, the condition is brilliant. They put it together and they're always upgrading it.
Wow.
Every time they bring out, they're always upgrading it. They don't stop. They do not stop. They're consistently upgrading it. Because when they hear, when someone like myself, like yourself, like our teacher, is reaching inside of someone's mind that they go, wow, that makes sense. They've got another program to throw in there for you, another distraction to grab you, because a lot of it is distractions. If I can distract you from morning to night, to you when you go to sleep and you wake up, and I can keep doing that, I can keep this perpetually happening until you die.
Wow. Wow. Let's run to the next caller here, producer. Wow, that's powerful. Caller, you're live on Guardian Radio today.
Yes, good afternoon, brother. Good afternoon,
guest. Good afternoon, my brother.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was listening. The first call, I mean, you know, they have this thing that the Catholic Church said, give me your children until they're age 7 or something like that. Then after that, you can have them because already whatever's in them is going to be in them forever.
Mm.
You know, so they indoctrinate you from childhood. And once something is in you once you grow up with something as your reality, you know, it becomes a part of you. You know what I mean? And that's why it's so ingrained, because you don't know nothing else too. You don't have anything else to refer to other than this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that television is a very serious thing. I mean, in our culture, Anku, you know, we have this expression, again, cut a movie.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I mean, we're going to go do something crazy. Wow.
Yeah, you understand where I'm coming from. I just go to show you how that television,
yes.
But how the gentleman was talking about the soap operas and thing. I think he was talking about when I used to go to high school, I used to listen to the females in school talk about the soap operas, like you said, like they were real people. And I mean, you know, and it was just, not just the ladies in school. It was also the older ladies, like that was, I mean, like that took over the whole island, like everywhere you went, that's all they were talking about, General Hospital, all my children and all those other stories. I mean, you know, and when you think about it, that's a very serious thing, that's the thing you know what I mean, having, keeping their mind, you know what I mean?
Program.
On that level, and I mean, and what that does is that promote their behavior, that gives tolerance to certain things, but... On that thing you were talking about earlier, Uncle, about the identity theft and different things and the Gentile thing, right? I've heard Christian people say before that we're the Gentiles. And every time I hear them say that, I say, well, you know, that's you. I know Gentile. You know what I mean?
right.
But what confuses me, right, and what shows their lack of thinking or whatever the case may be, right? Like, they would say they're the Gentiles, right? But then, Uncle, I know you know that scripture that they love to quote, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, and who are they talking about?
Who are
they talking about when they quote that scripture in these churches all the time? If my people who are called by my name, but then you saying you're the Gentile? do you see the contradiction in that thing right there?
That's a great point.
I mean, you understand where I'm coming from? How could you say if my people who are called by my name, if you're a Gentile? You understand? So, I mean, whenever you listen, the whole religion thing don't make sense. And I mean, anyone who ever sat back and observed society for one second would ask himself, well, how come we have all these churches all over the place and nothing getting better, things just getting worse? Like, you know what I mean? It has to be a problem. No one is actually looking into that thing, because like how we discussed earlier on, everyone is just concerned about, you know what I mean, that physical part of life. You know what I mean? They even have the prosperity doctrine where people have been brainwashing to thinking that the way to be blessed is to have financial things. But in that same book, it tells you that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go into the kingdom of God. I mean, what's the contradiction in these things?
Thank you, my brother. I will give Dr. Wright a chance to respond.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah, he said a lot there.
He said a lot.
Yeah.
And to jump, I want to say something because he mentioned about the Catholic Church at one point.
Yeah.
And up until the age of seven, mm-hmm. and it's very they know what they're doing because the age of seven is when the young child's imagination kicks in.
Mm.
Around seven, and the imagination starts to kick in.
Mm.
So now, if I can condition the mind at that age, up until that age, let me do it another way. If I condition you to believe what I tell you, what are the things that you're going to imagine? You're going to imagine the things that I told you about to think about.
Right.
That's where your imagination's going. You're going to take things around you, but you're going to always put that in there because that's the age of imagination. So where we were putting things together or doing science or playing games, you're now going to imagine some sick things that you were taught. I'm not going into it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that age. So now they're now bringing in, telling you, oh, as a child, you can pick whatever gender you are and so forth and so forth. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because imagination.
Hmm.
So they know what they're doing. I'll just deal with that at that point. We got to understand, we're mixing and living amongst the people. And if we go to Deuteronomy 7:4,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 7:2, and when the Lord, the God, shall deliver them before thee,
mm-hmm.
thou shalt smite, I can't see good, them and utterly destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
And thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor shall no mercy upon them. So you're supposed to understand that when you're mixing with these people, this is what the Lord said you weren't supposed to. Neither shalt thou do what? Make marriages with them. Thy daughter, thou shalt not take, give them unto thy son, nor his daughter shall thy take unto thy son. Why am I saying this?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've decided to mix with these people. Mix with them in so much as mix our DNA with them, socialize with them. And I know back home where you are, it's not so bad because it's predominantly Nubian melanin.
Mm-hmm.
That's real.
Yeah.
But the mind of some of our Nubian melanin.
Systems in place, yes. Yes.
Right, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. Because they've been conditioned. And where it says, for they will turn away from the they will turn thy son away from the following me, the most high one, anyway, and they may serve other gods.
Okay.
I'm saying it this way because it's not just that you're serving other gods, you're taking on other people's ways of life. That giving that quote, remember the quote that I gave in so much as Revelations 7:9, when you're part of the multitude, you now see yourself as accepted.
Mm-hmm.
So you see yourself as being part of them. And that's the way they'll say, okay, you're with us.
Mm.
You know, we accept you as part of us. It's okay. It's okay, John. You're part of us.
Mm-hmm.
Not like you're okay because you're with us.
Mm-hmm.
So now the mind says, I'm okay because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Not overstanding that Jesus Christ, or that Jesus Christ, or that Jesus Zeus, or Jesus, or Jesus Zeus, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right, is not the same. That Christus Jesus, or my man,
mm-hmm.
is not the same as Yeshua Christ.
Okay.
So here we are,
parallel.
And that's why in the scripture say, "Give unto
Caesar
mm-hmm. what is Caesar's."
Right.
And give unto the Most High what is. So it was making clear when we read it with the African eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Explaining, say, if when you're living amongst the people and you've got to be in their land, living amongst their land, but not be of their land, part of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know,
so all these
all
these little things make a difference.
Right.
So we've traveled to Jesus Christus. We've gone to Jesus Christ. We've come to all of these titles, not realizing that we're actually praising Rome and all of the pinnacle that Rome does. I'm not going to go into it today. We'll do it another
day. It's interesting because I had a texter early in the show, right? And you're touching on it without me even bringing it up, but I'll just read what they said. They said, good day. I know you said yesterday something to the effect that the Jesus of the Galatians is different from the one in the Gospels. Can you further expand on that, as I found it to be a very interesting point and worthy of its own discussion? And this is exactly what we're talking about, the fact that they're pushing a narrative on us that is glorifying Rome, glorifying the Greco-Romans, and moving the real and living Messiah, Yahshua Christ, out of the way.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's the identity theft.
That's
so
true.
Here we are worshiping Jesus Christus, right? Pontius Maximus, Julius Caesar.
Wow.
When we should be by everyone, and they race through the direction and the guidance of Yahshua Karas.
Right.
But because they've done the identity theft to us, we don't see that, and we've run away from that, and not realizing, because somebody told you that saying Jesus and Yahshua is the same person.
Wow.
That saying God and Anere is the same thing.
Do
you understand?
Mm-hmm.
That saying Osiris and Osiru is the same thing. I can go on and on and on.
Wow, we got to run to a break. We got to run to a break, man. When we come back from the break, we're going to run back to the phone lines. But this is very powerful. I'm so grateful. Our special guest, Dr. Horace Wright of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah in the UK. We'll be back.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Things may be tough, but Wendy's got you. Grab a Dave's single or chicken sandwich with a junior fries and 16-ounce beverage for just $6.95. Why choose less from the other guys when you can get more? At Wendy's, we're providing bigger bites and better deals. So purchase Tough Value Meal today. Now available at all locations, excluding the airport and food truck.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Mass Sample 3022361.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back here on Guardian Radio today. Our special guest, Dr. Horace Wright of the Holy Coptic Church in the UK and over there in London, across the pond. We're going to run straight to the phone lines and see what this call. I see another one popped up. But Carlo, you're live on Guardian Radio today.
Good afternoon, Uncle.
Good afternoon. How you doing, brother?
Good afternoon to you. Uncle.
Yes, sir.
What's the meaning of pent? P-E-N-T.
Of pent?
Yeah.
Well, I could look it up. Why are you asking about pent? I mean, I know it's related to the number five.
Exactly, and also like the shut up.
Okay, pent up. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
But why I ask that is because, like, Christians have a tendency of saying to repent. And I just so offended by that, man. They cage up and things and like, you know, don't say that, shut him out.
Mm.
And that ain't cool.
Okay.
It's a free thinker.
I got you.
You know.
I got you. Appreciate that, free thinker. I appreciate that. Dr. Wright, what would say you? Pent, repent, and being pent up.
Pent up. Phonetically.
Yeah, it's a phonetic.
Right? Phonetic.
We got another caller here on the line. Caller, you're live on Guardian Radio today.
Uncle, how you doing?
I'm great, man. Thanks for calling.
Hi to your guest. Mm-hmm. I want you to help me to understand a certain part of the scripture. And if I'm listening this time, if your father was to give you a name, that was supposed to be a name that he gave you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they said in the book of Isaiah, he should be called Emmanuel, why are they still just saying Jesus and not Emmanuel? Is that a part of the identity theft?
Let's ask Dr. Wright. Dr. Wright, is that a part of the identity theft? Emmanuel?
Can we add the verse, please?
I think he's talking about Isaiah chapter 7.
I know it's Isaiah.
And, Emmanuel
is... And the name of Emmanuel should be powerful God. I mean, what do you say?
God is with us.
Should be called Emmanuel, yeah. And should be, they say all government should rest upon his shoulders. Should be.
Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore, verse 14, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Now, first and foremost, I would like you, if you don't mind, Cohen Uncle, to look up that word Emmanuel for me, please.
Okay.
Blue letter Bible.
No problem. I was in my other.
You've got a computer there quicker than what I'm on my phone.
Gotcha. All right, so we go to the Blue Letter Bible, and we look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and this word, Emmanuel. All right, and they spell it I-M-M-A-N-U-E-L. All right, Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. And this word, Emmanuel, it means God with us, or with us is God.
That's right.
And they say symbolic and prophetic name of the Messiah, the Christ, prophesying that he would be born of a virgin and would be God with us. That's what the Blue Letter Bible is saying.
So the Blue Letter Bible is saying, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why I'm saying to look it up is because I want us to get an understanding of what they say within the strong. Let's look at the Strong's info, right?
Yes, Strong's Concordance, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and they'll turn around and say that that's another way of saying God with us, symbol of Messiah, right? Okay, it says all of this. Why didn't they just say Jesus?
Right.
But when I started the show, I spoke about the changing of names.
Yes, you did.
I spoke about a changing of name and the fact that Jesus, but people don't ask the first simple question is, what does Jesus mean?
Ah, true.
They don't ask it. But whilst you're looking that up, I know you're going to look it up.
From yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? They're saying that at this point, God, and that word for God in the Old Testament would say Elohim.
Yes.
They would say Elohim is with us.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say Elohim, they're talking about plurality. So they're talking about these guardian angelic hosts would be amongst us.
Mm.
Right? They'll be walking with us.
Okay.
So it's not just talking about Emmanuel. When they say Emmanuel, right,
mm-hmm.
it's talking about those coming from the ill,
okay.
not L.
Mm.
If you go into the original tongue, so it's talking about those of that lineage, order,
mm-hmm.
angelic beings are going to be walking amongst. Have you found Jesus yet?
Yes, Jesus, they say, and I found it in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and they say, Jehovah is salvation. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of humans.
Say, well, so what does his name mean?
They say, Jehovah is salvation.
That's Jehovah is salvation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. In which language? In Greek?
It's in the Greek. In the Greek is Isus. Isus.
I know that.
Isus.
But I'm saying, so the Greeks said Jehovah?
Yes, they have Jehovah.
the Greeks said Jehovah?
Mm.
The Greeks did say this thing?
Hmm.
The Greeks, they used the term Jehovah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
So when we look at this, we got to understand it's been changed in order for us to not see what's going on.
Yeah.
So when we see this Emmanuel, and we're saying Emmanuel, and it's saying Iman or Im,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or M, as they will say, and Nu,
mm-hmm.
us, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's saying that, yes, Ima or Anu or Emo or Am is walking, or I am is walking amongst us.
Wow.
Meaning that this they're coming with. They changed the words, they changed the name in order to hide the truth. But when it's a good question that he's asked,
mm-hmm.
because he's asking why didn't they just say Jesus? And then
right.
he's got a point. Why? But they'll say Emmanuel is another name for Jesus, or is an actual attribute for Jesus to say that he was walking with us.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when he's looking at it, yeah, he's right. It's actually breaking down to so that we can get an understanding that it's saying Iman, faith.
Mm.
Iman. It's saying faith.
Okay.
Anu, or when you see Iman, Anu.
Mm-hmm.
You see Anu?
Yes.
The Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Il, the source. Faith in the Most High, the source. That's what it's saying. They mistranslate.
Okay.
Shall I do it again for you?
Yes.
Iman.
Mm-hmm.
Iman. When you say Iman, that's talking about Iman. Faith. Iman. Mm-hmm. Iman. Mm-hmm. Faith.
Right.
Anu. In the Most High. Another name for the Most High. Anu. El or Il. It's having faith in the Most High. The source. That's what it's really saying. So one will be coming about it that would teach you to have faith in the Most High. That's what he was talking about. But it will say that that's his name.
So it's going back to that Exodus 3:14, the I am. I am that I am.
I am. I oh, am okay. that I am. Okay. I am will be amongst us. I am will be walking here. I am
powerful.
Will be with us.
Wow. Wow. We got another caller. Let's see what this caller wants to throw into the discussion. Caller, you're live on Guardian Radio today.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm great, man. Thanks for calling.
You know, but if Jesus is God, right?
Mm.
All of this becomes a moot point.
But let's hold on, because you say if Jesus, our guest said,
No. See, if Jesus is God, all of this becomes a moot point. But
is Jesus God?
If Jesus is God,
mm-hmm.
all of this becomes a moot point. Okay? Now, You made a statement.
So I'm asking you, are you saying Jesus is God or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But see, but the question of signs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are signs for? Signs are for unbelievers.
Mm.
Okay. Signs are for unbelievers.
Mm-hmm. According to what?
So when he says, I shall show you a sign.
Mm-hmm.
So that sign is not for those who believe.
Mm-hmm.
That sign is for those who don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to present your argument or your statement in the context of what came in the paragraph previously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if signs are for unbelievers,
mm-hmm.
you know, there is really no discussion about who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you. We're running out of time. I appreciate you. Is Jesus God, Dr. Wright?
No.
Okay, see, that...
How do you know?
Yeah.
Because it said, the Son of God, if I'm the Son of God, then I cannot be God. The Son of God. I'm either the Son of... If I'm my Father, yes, he said, I and my Father are one.
Mm-hmm.
I am with my Father. I'm of my Father's gene, but I am not my Father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, No, he doesn't say Jesus is God. It said Jesus is the Son of God. And we read a while ago where it talked about Satan, and then it spoke about God.
Right.
The Christ, who, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. And
it separated them. And Jesus always separated himself from God.
John 14:28, it says, ye go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I.
Right.
That's right there.
Yes.
Dr. Wright, I really appreciate you taking the time.
We done?
Yeah, we done, man. The time is gone.
Okay, thank you, my brother, for taking the time to allow me to talk here, and
yes.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for listening, for taking the time to listen to us. I appreciate it. We simply say namaste. The divine in me, I acknowledge that you're all divine beings, and I bow.
Amen. Thank you all for listening to Guardian Radio today. Z Live is coming up next. Keep it locked here on 96.9 FM. Namaste.